I tug on my skirt, willing it to be longer, wanting it to cover the knocking in my knees. Then I realize it's pointless. My whole body's shaking like a leaf. Hopefully, it will be put down to excitement. After all, it's my night. The damp, moldy smell beneath the stage threatens to choke me. A cold, clammy sweat breaks out on my skin, and I can't rid myself of the feeling that the boards above my head are about to collapse, to bury me alive under the rubble. When I left the arena, when the trumpets played, I was supposed to be safe. From then on, for the rest of my life. But if what Haymitch says is true, and he's got no reason to lie, I've never been in such a dangerous place in my life. It's so much worse than being hunted in the arena. There, I could only die. End of story. But out here, Prim, my mother, Gail, the people of District 12, everyone I care about back home, could be punished if I can't pull off the girl driven crazy by love scenario Haymitch has suggested. So I still have a chance, though. Funny, in the arena when I poured out those berries, I was only thinking of outsmarting the game makers, not how my actions would reflect on the Capitol. But the Hunger Games are their weapon, and you are not supposed to be able to defeat it. So now the Capitol will act as if they've been in control the whole time, as if they orchestrated the whole event right down to the double suicide. But that will only work if I play along with them. And PETA. PETA will suffer too if this goes wrong. But what was it Haymitch said when I asked if he had told PETA the situation, that he had to pretend to be desperately in love?
Don't have to, he's already there.
Already thinking ahead of me in the games again, and well aware of the danger we're in? Or already desperately in love? I don't know. I haven't even begun to separate out my feelings about PETA. It's too complicated. What I did as part of the games, as opposed to what I did out of anger at the Capitol, or because of how it would be viewed back in District 12, or because it was the only decent thing to do, or what I did because I cared about him. These are questions to be unraveled back home in the peace and quiet of the woods when no one is watching. Not here with every eye upon me. But I won't have that luxury for who knows how long. And right now, the most dangerous part of the Hunger Games is about to begin. Chapter 27. The anthem booms in my ears, and then I hear Caesar Flickerman greeting the audience. Does he know how crucial it is to get every word right from now on? He must. He will want to help us. The crowd breaks into applause as the prep teams are presented. I imagine Flavius, Venia, and Octavia bouncing around and taking ridiculous, bobbing bows. It's a safe bet they're clueless. Then Effie's introduced. How long she's waited for this moment. I hope she's able to enjoy it because, as misguided as Effie can be, she has a very keen instinct about certain things and must at least suspect we're in trouble. Portia and Cinna receive huge cheers, of course. They've been brilliant, had a dazzling debut. I now understand Cinna's choice of dress for me tonight. I'll need to look as girlish and innocent as possible. Haymitch's appearance brings a round of stomping that goes on at least 5 minutes. Well, he's accomplished a first, keeping not only one, but two tributes alive. What if he hadn't warned me in time? Would I have acted differently? Flaunted the moment with the berries in the Capitol's face? No, I don't think so. But I could easily have been a lot less convincing than I need to be now. Right now. Because I can feel the plate lifting me up to the stage. Blinding lights. The deafening roar rattles the metal under my feet. Then there's PETA just a few yards away. He looks so clean and healthy and beautiful, I can hardly recognize him. But his smile is the same whether in mud or in the Capitol, and when I see it, I take about 3 steps and fling myself into his arms. He staggers back, almost losing his balance, and that's when I realize the slim metal contraption in his hand is some kind of cane. He writes himself, and we just cling to each other while the audience goes insane. He's kissing me, and all the time I'm thinking, do you know? Do you know how much danger we're in? After about 10 minutes of this, Caesar Flickerman taps on his shoulder to continue the show, and PETA just pushes him aside without even glancing at him. The audience goes berserk. Whether he knows or not, PETA is, as usual, playing the crowd exactly right. Finally, Haymitch interrupts us and gives us a good-natured shove toward the victor's chair. Usually, this is a single ornate chair from which the winning tribute watches a film of the highlights of the games. But since there are two of us, the game makers have provided a plush red velvet couch. A small one. My mother would call it a love seat, I think. I sit so close to PETA that I'm practically on his lap, but one look from Haymitch tells me it isn't enough. Kicking off my sandals, I tuck my feet to the side and lean my head against PETA's shoulder. His arm goes around me automatically, and I feel like I'm back in the cave, curled up against him, trying to keep warm. His shirt is made of the same yellow material as my dress, but Portia's put him in long black pants. No sandals either, but a pair of sturdy black boots he keeps solidly planted on the stage. I wish Cinna had given me a similar outfit. I feel so vulnerable in this flimsy dress. But I guess that was the point. Caesar Flickerman makes a few more jokes, and then it's time for the show. This will last exactly 3 hours and is required viewing for all of Pan Am. As the lights dim and the seal appears on the screen, I realize I'm unprepared for this. I do not want to watch my 22 fellow tributes die. I saw enough of them die the first time. My heart starts pounding, and I have a strong impulse to run. How have the other victors faced this alone? During the highlights, they periodically show the winner's reaction up on a box in the corner of the screen. I think back to earlier years. Some are triumphant, pumping their fists in the air, beating their chests. Most just seem stunned. All I know is that the only thing keeping me on this love seat is PETA, his arm around my shoulder, his other hand claimed by both of mine. Of course, the previous victors didn't have the capital looking for a way to destroy them. Condensing several weeks into 3 hours is quite a feat, especially when you consider how many cameras were going at once. Whoever puts together the highlights has to choose what sort of story to tell. This year, for the first time, they tell a love story. I know PETA and I won, but a disproportionate amount of time is spent on us right from the beginning. I'm glad, though, because it supports the whole crazy in love thing that's my defense for defying the capital. Plus, it means we won't have as much time to linger over the deaths. The first half hour or so focuses on the pre-arena events. The reaping, the chariot ride through the capital, our training scores, and our interviews. There's this sort of upbeat soundtrack playing under it that makes it twice as awful because, of course, almost everyone on screen is dead. Once we're in the arena, there's detailed coverage of the bloodbath, and then the filmmakers basically alternate between shots of tributes dying and shots of us. Mostly PETA, really. There's no question he's carrying this romance thing on his shoulders. Now I see what the audience saw, how he misled the careers about me, stayed awake the entire night under the Tracker Jacker tree, fought Cato to let me escape, and even while he lay in that mud bank, whispered my name in his sleep. I seem heartless in comparison, dodging fireballs, dropping nests, and blowing up supplies, until I go hunting for Rue. They play her death in full, the spearing, my failed rescue attempt, my arrow through the boy from District 1's throat, Rue drawing her last breath in my arms. And the song. I get to sing every note of the song. Something inside me shuts down, and I'm too numb to feel anything. It's like watching complete strangers in another Hunger Games. But I do notice they omit the part where I covered her in flowers. Right, because even that smacks of rebellion.